How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, we're down to the wire now. Monday is Inauguration Day, and I can hardly wait to get Biden the hell out of the office. You had Kamala signing her. I guess it's a traditional thing where they pull out the desk drawer.
Yes.
Which, you know, traditionally, yes, she had nothing in it to begin with, you know. And
that's true.
Everybody, you know, for the past century has signed.
But do you know why she was opening the desk drawer?
To find her conscience?
No. She was looking for her bag of Jim and Bill's right side coffee.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. Yes. Right side coffee. Everybody likes it. No matter what side of the aisle you sit on, right side coffee. It's a great tasting blend of the finest medium and medium decaf coffee beans. And you're saying, well, it sounds really tasty, but where do I find it? I've never seen it in the stores. Well, you won't. You have to go to rightsideshop.com. Am I right, Bill?
That's right. But, you know, I will say this.
What's that?
If you own a store,
yes,
all right, you can buy it in bulk and sell it. You see, then it would be available locally.
You know, that's a very good idea. Buy a bunch of it and then put it in your store.
And you can get, you know, and if they don't give you a bulk price, trust me, you contact us, they will give you a bulk price.
Yeah, tell me, you know, people in high places, you know? One of those people is Juan and his cohort.
Yes,
Juan and Jose, yes.
We make you a deal.
Yeah, and the border crossers, they're right here right now. They want to sing. They're hyped up. They're ready. It's a new day, and they're ready to get into it. Should we let them?
I think so. It's a perfect way to start a weekend off. We started officially when this podcast hits the internet
for
all the world to hear.
That's true. So Juan, Jose, and you other guys, the border crossers, come over. Yeah, yep, got your instruments? Good. It's all yours.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
There they are, the border crossers featuring Juan and Jose. They're very good at that. You know, they've only sung it about 500 times since we started doing it. So they've had some practice, but they're good.
Yeah, they're good guys. And, you know, but we keep telling them, you know, it's just, you just need
a little more.
A little tweaking, yeah. And
what you're saying is we never let them feel comfortable, right, Bill?
Shh. Because, see,
exactly. They may want to raise.
We're not paying them.
That's right.
But we will if they get just to that peak of perfection.
That's right. Just like our coffee.
They're just shy of it. Guys, but you're doing so good.
You're close, but you have to keep working at it, okay? Now, listen.
Aren't we some great guys?
And by the way, the right side, our rightsideshop.com, you'll find a lot of stuff in there. You'll find sweatshirts, T-shirts, glasses, cups, hats. I mean, we got a bunch of stuff in there, plus, of course, Right Side Coffee. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. We have to be specific about it. There's other right sides out there. They're not like we are.
No, the one thing you don't want to do is get anything from the left side.
That's true. Left side coffee, they deliver it to you and it's bad already.
Well, that's true.
And plus, it's usually half of what they say it is.
Yeah, I have a line, but this time I am going to exercise caution and just...
Which for you is an extreme move.
It really, really, really is, because right now I'm biting my upper
tongue,
lower lip.
Yes, you are. Know, you're bleeding, you're biting so
damn
so
right.
Hard.
There's just one thing I want to say, and you know what that is?
Know. Nope.
One thing.
Well, I kind of do, but I'm not going to ask. this is the... This is a busy weekend. A lot of things happening over the weekend. You got to pray that everything works out okay. You know, Bill, there's a rally for President Trump the day before Inauguration Day on Sunday. He's doing a rally.
Didn't know that.
It's in D.C.
Cool.
Well, it's cool, except, you know, if it were me, I would say, Mr. President, let's just back off with public appearances now until, you know, you're president and everything's in place. But you can't hold this guy back. So he's doing a rally.
Yeah, can't keep a good man down, and he's going to go out and do what he does, you know, the Trump
well,
thing.
Well, we all know what happened at a rally in Butler in July. We almost lost the guy, but for a fraction of a millimeter.
Let's hope, you know what, it could have been a practice run. Who knows, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's plane got rerouted because of drones over the White House.
That's true.
You know, we're going to have this problem again because we do. I think it smells of the DNC.
Well, Biden won't leave soon enough. I mean, really.
He's signing more executive orders. More prisoners. And
you watch the pardons. We haven't seen the pardons yet. I mean, stand by, America.
He did 2,500 yesterday.
Oh, my God. Does he get writer's cramp or something? This guy is amazing.
They talk about all these orders he signed, and you might see one picture, it's an old picture, I've seen it before, where he's smiling with a pen.
Yes.
Do you really think he sat down and knows how to spell his name? I mean, you know, it might be a thumbprint or a handprint like, you know, kids do in kindergarten.
Yeah. You think
put your hand in the ink pad.
I wonder if he just does an X. You know, like they used to do in Pioneer days where they couldn't write. Just put your X there. Thank you, Joe. Next.
It could be. I don't know. You know, look, good riddance. You know, I hate to say. Look, is he a diminished?
Well, is
senior
he
citizen or not?
After four years,
whatever.
Bill, is he really president?
Was he ever really president?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Question, if they find out during the next few years that he wasn't legally the president, does that mean that everything that he signed for those 4 years is invalid?
There was something I was reading. I've had some computer issues, and I didn't print it out, but there's actually some forensics on that now says, no. You know, that, and it was with the vote counting.
Uh-huh.
The thing that was going on. Somewhere in Wisconsin where the DNC had, you know, their master thing or their computer network or whatever, that was there to sit there at a Hyatt. And I thought that was interesting because the Hyatt family, the one guy, you know, the heir to it.
Who's the governor of Illinois.
Yeah, and he was a contender to maybe run as the VP with Kamala, which he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was his hotel that they did all this, you know, counting of the ballots.
Chicanery, as they would say.
Chicanery. And there was a guy they had up on the 10th floor that was had no authority for anything but was sitting up there calling the shots with a skiv line that goes up to his room where he was seeing the numbers. And then he would call down and say, you got to come up with more numbers for Joe. Or, you know, this was for back in 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, they were stacking the votes.
Did you have you noticed during these hearings that one of the things that they keep falling back on, the Democrats, is, do you believe that the 2020 election was legitimate? And are you willing to say that President Trump lost the 2020 election? That's one of the things they keep throwing out at these different nominees. It's as if they're stuck. It's like they want you to... They want you to say publicly and on the record and under oath that you think 2020 was legitimate. Fortunately, I haven't heard one nominee come back and say I think that it was fraudulent. I mean that it was legitimate, and which is good because they're trying to make it sound like everything about 2020 was above board. The Democrats are, and I think it's because they're afraid that they're about to be exposed for the liars and the cheats that they really are. You know, the neat thing about Trump right now is that, we've said before, Bill, he cannot run again. So it's everything he's doing is not for his benefit in 2028 because he'll be retired in 2028.
This is like the Derby, the Kentucky Derby. That's the final run for the Roses, and that's it. He's done.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no Preakness, anything after this. He's done. And so whatever he wants to accomplish, whatever his agenda is, and you wouldn't be president and then I don't want to say the word lose, have to step aside for 4 years because there was an anomaly in the election process, and then come back and on your final run just say, well, I've got nothing to do here. I'm just going to sit here and do the cakewalk. No. He's back with a very, you know, large agenda, and he wants to finish what he started, as the old Van Halen song goes, and that's what he's going to do.
I think that he has, they say that there's a bill that he has already been working with Congress, that he intends to put forward, like, the day that he is sworn in, and it's not like he's not talking about an executive order. He has a bill that he intends to submit to Congress for approval concerning the border that is going to lock that border up so tight that, and they're going to need to repeal a law to get rid of it as opposed to executive orders. Trump, you know, right now, if Trump were to sign an executive order on the border, if a Democrat wins in 2028, he can come in and he can probably remove it in some way or at least diminish it. But if he gets a law put into place, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, you know, when you do an executive order, because it can be undone by the next guy coming in, perhaps if it's that important of an executive order, because you're going to have another Biden in the House at some point in time, you know, a tit-for-tat guy. Yeah, I don't like it, so yeah. You know, or just to screw you over, I'll change it, because that's what Biden did in day one, undo every one of Trump's executive orders. But I think the orders of substance and, you know, that really are really super important.
Right.
There needs to be some kind of congressional act that cements it in stone. Sorry, you cannot sit there and undo this with the stroke of a pen. You know, and that's been the thing, you know.
So how many Bidens are going to get pardons, you think, between now and Monday?
A ton. You know.
Do you think he'll pardon, like, his brother and his sister and his whole family? I mean, is Jill going to get a pardon? I mean, how do you...
Pardon for cheating on him or pardon for everything that she's done?
Everything that she's done. I mean, see, the thing is, they could... He's got to give everybody in his family a pardon for it to be a secure family so that they can't get at him.
Well, you know, you take a good list of a good look at the list of the people he's pardoning, family included, and that will tell you who and what Joe is. And you know what? Let's just sit there and look at Joe Biden and all the pardons and all the chaos and calamity that's been going on, and look at the fires out in California, the fire in Maui, everything that's been happening, and the debacle down in the Carolinas. They're still trying to, recover from all of that, and FEMA not doing a damn thing to help them.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on and on and on of the Biden failures. Biden, you know, he is the face of the Democrat Party. That is his democracy. And if you're a Democrat that says you voted for him, well, that's yours. Take ownership. You're responsible, too.
It's interesting. James Comer said he had a long discussion with Kash Patel on a real interesting plan to bring down the deep state. Listen to this. This was on John Solomon's podcast, I believe.
Is there still more work to be done to make sure we understand if there was any national security damage done by the Biden family as a result of this grift?
Yes. I mean, just watch Christopher Wray's closing interview on 60 Minutes this week when he said our biggest threat is China. Well, why wasn't he concerned about the fact that Joe Biden's family took $8 million from China? They lied about it. And then they laundered it through a series of shell companies. The banks caught them. The intelligence community caught them. And yet nothing was ever said or done about it. In fact, the intelligence community went so far as to write a letter with 51 of their former intelligence officials signing it, saying that initial discovery wasn't true. So I think that we've got a lot of work to do to hold people accountable that were involved in the cover-up. Prior to doing this interview, John, I sat down and had a long discussion with Kash Patel. Yeah. I'm real excited about his new reign as the director of the FBI. I think that he will be able to work closely with my House Oversight Committee. We pledged to cooperate with them. And I said, Kash, you're going to have a tough job in getting rid of and dismantling these deep state bureaucrats in the FBI that have censored conservatives. They've coordinated and colluded with the left-wing media to disinform and indoctrinate their viewers. And you know, they've lost the confidence of the American people. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of rebuilding that's going to have to take place at the FBI and in our intelligence community. But more than anything, I hope that we can go back and hold people accountable for all the cover-ups and all the lies that they told to the American people.
James Comer talking with John Solomon about Kash Patel. It's interesting. Kash Patel hasn't even had his hearing yet, and he's got the left, their tighty-whities in a knot, because he was brought up in a conversation in a question by Dick Durbin during one of the hearings yesterday. And I think he was talking to, was it Pam Bondi? I believe it was. And listen to what he says about Kash Patel to Pam Bondi.
Ms. Bondi, I'd like to say something, and I hope you agree with it. Violence is never acceptable when it comes to political expression. Period.
I think I said that initially. Yes, I do agree.
Of course, I
agree.
I abhor that sort of thing happening when it comes to conservative Supreme Court justices, and I abhor it when it comes to Nancy Pelosi's husband being attacked in his home.
That was horrible.
Which we should all say unequivocally, both are unacceptable. I think you agree, correct?
Horrible.
All right. I guess as I reflect on what you've said today, a couple things surprised me. I did not expect you to be as outspoken as you are about Kash Patel. He's been characterized as a professional career defense attorney and a career prosecutor. That's a pretty amazing achievement in his life. But he also has said and done some things which are impossible to understand and justify. For example, are you familiar with something called the QAnon conspiracy?
I've heard of it, but I do not know what it is, but I've heard of it many times, Senator.
So let me tell you what I've learned about it. Its core belief is that a cabal of satanic, cannibalistic child molesters are embedded within our government and are conspiring against President-elect Trump. They asked Mr. Patel about it, and he said, quote, "I agree with a lot that the movement says," end of quote. Does that sound like a good preparation to run the FBI?
Senator, I don't know anything about... I had heard of QAnon, but I've never heard that definition attached to it at all. You're going to have to ask Mr. Patel about those statements.
We will. And I'll tell you, until we get answers to those questions, I don't know many people on this side of the table will give him an unequivocal endorsement. This and his enemies list, what he calls his government gangsters, this is what you expect of Stasi. This is what you expect of secret police. It is not what you expect of justice in America, as you've even described it at the table today. So I would say this unequivocal support of Mr. Patel should at least have some reservation until he explains some of these outrageous positions he has taken.
I look forward to hearing his testimony about QAnon in front of this committee.
You will.
Okay, that's Dick Durbin. First of all, my understanding of QAnon, I am not truly familiar with it in that I don't follow QAnon or anything like that, but it's not an organization. It's not an organization. He makes it sound like Stasi. He mentioned Stasi, which was a secret police. QAnon is not an organization.
No.
And last I heard, and I could be wrong, it's not against the law, is it?
Not that I know of, but that goes back a few years back, actually, to 2020 when they were taking the right and saying, oh, QAnon and, you know, the rabbit hole and all of this stuff. You probably remember that from 2019, 2020. Yeah. And I think it was all, a lot of this stuff is fabricated. And I'm not saying there's not a group, well, but I'm saying that what they're saying is all riveting storytelling. To take a quote from the Washington Post, who has changed their slogan from democracy dies in darkness, because, and they died with it.
Well, wait
apparently.
A second. Before we go there, though, as far as QAnon goes,
yeah,
basically, from what I understand, it's like a lot of things are done in code. In messages, the number 17 means something in QAnon. QAnon is supposed to be, some people believe QAnon is Trump, and that it's all just a way to communicate without being open about it, you know? But they don't advocate, from what I understand, they don't advocate...
I don't buy all that.
They don't advocate violence, from what I understand. It's they advocate a belief in country, you know? Don't you, when you hear Durbin, they're using something, they're twisting the definition, they are making it sound like it's the Gestapo, do you know? And it's not the Gestapo, for Pete's sakes. And by the way, Kash Patel has a right to believe in anything else, anything he wants to believe, as long as what he believes in that doesn't go against the Constitution.
Gestapo?
Yeah, Gestapo.
Gestapo?
Yeah, Vollmann here.
Would you say that... without that fancy name,
yeah,
the January 6th committee was a Gestapo?
Absolutely. You could have put long black robes on them and put a different flag behind them, and it would have been the same kind of a committee. I mean, they were...
Damn right it was. And, you know, and that sweet little girl, Liz Cheney, was ahead of that. You know, some evil people wear skirts and have different color hair. And they can come in different packages, whether it be man or woman or whatever you want to. You identify as a TV dinner, that's what you are, but you're still bad.
Yeah. And do you think they're throwing people, innocent Americans, in jail for 3.5-4 years is not a Gestapo-type movement?
Well,
at least that's what they've done.
When you just talked about that Gestapo, I'm thinking January 6th because... That's how I look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, put a swastika on their shoulder and you got them. But, you know, the evil will not admit that they're evil. They will call you evil.
Yes.
For noticing that they're evil. How dare you look at me and think that I'm bad when I want to do what I do.
Now, I'll tell you what, Bill. I'll tell you what. Let's dive a little deeper here, right?
Uh-oh.
Durbin makes it sound like... everybody in the Capitol building is above board and honest and patriotic. That's a lot of crap. These people, there are people in that building who are vile, who are unpatriotic, who are selfish, greedy. Don't make it sound like everybody sitting with, you know, behind that desk that you're sitting behind, Senator Durbin, is a perfect person. You know, I question you, sir. I question you for a lot of things. By the way, the ones who squeal the most now, the ones who protest the most now, are the ones I'm most concerned about, because I think they're aware of the fact that maybe, like the saying goes, the gig is up for them.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, I look at L.A. burning. And to me, that's a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, if you're running from it and you had anything to do with it, don't look back. You'll turn to stone. It's just going to happen.
I heard someone said, well, if that's the case, why would a good person like Mel Gibson lose his house? I would say that God doesn't give you things that you can't handle. Gibson can handle this. If you hear Gibson talk... you can tell that he's a man of faith because he says things like, well, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. We'll get through it. We have our family. You know, he has a refreshing attitude towards this terrible loss that he's gone through.
And we're seeing that now, and the only way that we would see that is if something that was presumably very bad,
yeah,
was bestowed upon his doorstep too, and it was.
Yep.
And, you know, so his star shines brighter in the sky as a beacon of hope and faith. Is probably the best way I can say it. So you look and go, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's nailed it. It's tough.
Speaking of Mel Gibson, John Voight, Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone, they were appointed by President Trump to be Hollywood ambassadors to usher in a new golden age of Hollywood. I think it's kind of great. Three of those guys, by the way, they're not afraid to be associated with President Trump.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Stallone goes back. He was associated with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Reagan loved, you know, all of his stuff that he did.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have three guys who are going to be, I guess when they're an ambassador in Hollywood, essentially what they'll be is they'll be a connection. They'll have a more open line to the president, which is kind of important. So if you are a studio and you're looking to do something and you'd love to have a contact in Washington, what better contact than one of those three guys? I was thinking, Bill, all the revenue that the movies that those guys made, probably in the billions of dollars.
Well, let me ask you something. In a Mel Gibson movie, a Sylvester Stallone movie that he has anything to do with, or a John Voight movie, have you ever seen any gratuitous sexual scenes?
No, not really. No, they just action.
All right. Have you ever seen any wokeness?
Oh, no. Wokeness? No. You don't find those. No.
So it's just pretty much mainstream life.
Yeah,
they acknowledge
entertainment.
Entertainment. It's entertainment. It's what you see. And these guys have made hundreds of millions of dollars doing it.
Right.
And it's something the industry is, you know, tinkled down the toilet.
Well, if you look, you know that I write stuff, and I have I subscribe to these different screenwriter websites, and they have classifieds from producers looking for certain movies and what they want, and they're all woke. Most of them are all woke. They don't learn, Bill. These guys do not learn. Looking for a commercial product with action but has a message. No, you don't want that. You don't want, you fathead. You know, you want a movie that's going to make you money and going to entertain the audience, period. Move on.
You know, people watch a movie and there's a superhero and you got a bad guy and you vicariously live out your life through that character. You transpose yourself onto the screen. It's not Sylvester Stallone. That's you.
Yeah.
It's not Mel Gibson. That's you. It's not Voight. It's you. Because it gives you a chance. You might feel like, yeah, I'm kind of that underdog. Yeah, I got my cape on now. I just saw the movie. You know, you're not going to go out and do something stupid. But, you know, it allows you to relate.
If you want to know where Hollywood is right now, look at television. Television. Every TV show now has a gay character. It's just like mandatory. It's like a checkbox. It's like, yeah, okay, we have the guy, we have the woman, we have the minority, have we got a gay character yet? Okay, got to get a gay character in here. I mean, it's like, come on. You don't have to have the checkboxes. Just make the movie. There's I'll say this right up front. There is a series on Netflix called American Primeval. American Primeval. And I don't know how it got made because it cost a lot of money to do it. It's a movie that goes back to the Old West, about 1857. It is action-packed. It's suspenseful. It's gritty. It's dirty. It's a real good Western. It's six parts. Shot as a limited series movie, series. But the fact of the matter is they could have condensed it a little bit and just made it a long movie. It was that good. It's on right now. If you haven't seen it, check it out. American Primeval. It is really good. And they don't have any secret messages. There's nothing in there that's going to try to sell you on an idea. It's just really, it's like reading a good book, you know? Like reading a good book. It's like, it's escapism. It's what Hollywood used to be. When you went to the movies during the Depression days, right, when you didn't have two dimes or two pennies to rub together, you spent your last nickel going to the movie, you sat there, and in that dark room and the screen flickered, you were taken away to a better place. You were taken away to a place where you could forget the world you were living in. That's where Hollywood shines. And this is where I think President Trump realizes we got to get back to that. We need a Hollywood that's going to entertain again without messages, without propaganda. We don't need Hollywood. What we found out in this last election, that Hollywood endorsements mean diddly squat. People don't care whether George Clooney likes somebody or whoever likes, you know, they don't care. You know, there was a reason why John Wayne and Gary Cooper and Gregory Peck and Clark Gable didn't really get into politics. They were political. In personal lives, they were political. I mean, inside their private little world, they had their political beliefs. But when they went in public, they were everybody's star. Everybody liked them. Not anymore.
You know, as a kid growing up, I can remember somebody saying, you know, John Wayne, they said, the day he dies, I quit going to the movies. And you know what? When he died, they did quit going to the movies. Modern day now, you would look at Stallone, you would look at Voight, you would look at Mel Gibson. The day they die, I'll quit going to the movies. That's today's comparison of the old Duke. And there will be more.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot more. But, you know, they held true to their values.
You look, Bill, guys like Leonardo DiCaprio. He hopped on his private plane when his house was burning, and he took off to Mexico. Couldn't be bothered with it. I don't want to see it, you know. Just
You know, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So he's donated $1 million to help, you know, the people in Los Angeles. That's like a guy, that would be like you or me going, hey, I'm going to help you out. Here's a dollar.
Well, it's. I'll tell you what it's like. It's in his next contract when he negotiates another movie, he'll just he'll include that fee in the next deal. So if he was going to make $100 million on a deal, he'll make 101. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, he'll get covered. He could have done a lot more. So a lot
he
of people
could have done a hell of a lot more. And I'm sitting there going, and he ran like a little, you know.
Yep.
Schoolgirl, I guess, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah,
He went, oh, I gotta get out of here, take my jet.
Yep.
You know, and he did, which I get fleeing, but then he goes, well, I gotta do something there. You know, I got a buck in the wallet. Here you go. There you go. That should make you feel good now, right?
Amazing. Amazing. So much to talk about. Those fires, they continue, by the way. You know, they're not out. Some people think, oh, we haven't heard the news talk a lot about it recent days, so it must be out. No, I think I heard last time 17% were under control. They're talking about more Santa Ana winds moving in this weekend.
Yeah, what, there was a power plant there. There was a power plant.
Yeah.
That just bursted in the flames. They had to evacuate because, you know, you've got those transformers that have chemicals in them and whatnot and the smoke and everything. And I wonder what's going on, but, you know, then I think I sent you a story yesterday about a lady, Gloria Lynn Mendick, a climate change advocate, apparently caught in a state park near Pacific Palisades trying to start a fire. Now, of course, you have to say, you know, there's, you know, what's the word when you said you can't say that she did it, but you're not saying she didn't. Suspicion.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a fire. She's got a whatever to light it, you know. Yeah, but
blow torch, you know.
All right. But she is a climate change advocate.
Of course.
I thought that was just, oh, that's ripe because they're blaming.
Well,
this,
the only way they're going to learn
climate
is
change.
Well, they're starting to use that narrative. The mainstream media is starting to say, well, Joe Biden said it. Biden,
yes,
in his closing statement, said if you look at out to the west, you can see what climate change is doing. He blamed the hurricane in North Carolina on climate change. During hurricane season, a hurricane came through and hit our south, and he blames it on climate change. Biden is the biggest piece of nonsense you've ever seen. He cannot be moved out of that office fast enough.
There's a thing in weather. I can't remember the exact dates, but it's back in the 15, 1600s, about a 75-year period.
Yeah.
Where the sun went through a cooling trend, and it does that. It kind of cools down, heats up. It's like an oven.
Yeah.
It does that. And during the cooling trends, well, there's less hurricanes. You can still have them, but there's less. And then when it warms up, well, then, you know, things start to spin, things start to happen. You have this devastating weather. As a matter of fact, 2025 is supposed to be a really scorching year. Yeah, we've got some cold stuff going on now.
Well, yeah.
But we're going to have a cooker and before she cools down again. So get ready for, number one, more bad weather this year. And then number two, and I'm not an almanac, a farmer's almanac, but I'm just going by history and what the real climate indicators say. And then after that, you're going to see a cooling trend, which will probably be a lessening of these, but, you know, more cold.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, which seems like a long time ago, they talked about we're going into global freezing. Well, you know, everything's getting colder.
Oh, like 60s.
During the 60s and 70s, yeah. And then all of a sudden they realized, well, that's not working. And then they said, well, let's go into global warming. Global warming is the issue. Yes, yeah, so we're getting hotter. And that didn't really pan out. So they said, wait a second, this fluctuating back and forth between hot and cold. No, no. We're going to call it climate change. Climate change, for those of you who are not really into it, climate change historically has been referred to as weather. Okay?
Mm.
I mean, we have had climate change on a daily basis. I'm talking about it today. It's cold. Tomorrow it's going to snow. And the next day it's going to be sunny out. That's climate change. But that covers the whole gamut right there. That's it. Fine. And that's where we are with the left right now. Climate change. They got all the bases covered. Like, for example, they're talking about this weekend, and I'm hoping this is the case. It's supposed to be one of the coldest days in recent history on Monday in D.C., which means that it probably will be too cold to hold the swearing-in out on the front steps of the Capitol, which will mean that President Trump will be inside in a warmer, safer place, I hope. But, you know, they're going to be thousands of people out there standing in the cold. So maybe Trump figures if they'll stand there, I'll stand there. But was it James? Which president? I think it was Garfield. Garfield was sworn in. It was very cold. He got pneumonia, and I think he died like 4 months later in office. Do you remember that?
I don't.
You weren't
know
there
for
his, you weren't there for his swearing in, though, were you, Bill?
No, I wasn't.
you were invited. I know, but you couldn't make it.
Yeah, reincarnation here. You know, and, yes. Bill Knight now. But you know, there's now. Are they having the inaugural ball inside, outside? Because they got some heavyweight stars.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Carrie Underwood, Village People, Lee Greenwood, Rascal Flatts, Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, Miley Cyrus, got to love it that her dad is going to do that. Mm. Jason Aldean, Kid Rock, and then Christopher Macchio, the opera singer.
Chris Macchio. Well, if you don't remember Chris Macchio, maybe this will freshen your mind. This is Chris Macchio. President Trump says he sounds like Luciano Pavarotti. Listen.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I had not heard of Chris Macchio before he sang for President Trump, and I have listened to his stuff. He's magnificent. He is a gifted man. Trump compares him to Pavarotti. He's today's Pavarotti. And I'll tell you, he's darn close. He's magnificent. And also, he's unabashedly conservative, which I think is kind of interesting. He said he's paid the price for that. He's paid the price for being close to President Trump. He was actually closer to President Trump's brother, John, the brother who died while President Trump was in office in his first term. And then President Trump met him through John, and the rest is history. What I wanted to read to you was, it wasn't Garfield, it was William Henry Harrison, who died of pneumonia about a month after he was sworn in during his inauguration. Mm-hmm. A cold day, he got pneumonia, and he died. So it's nothing to be...
He did what he thought he had to do, and he paid a price.
Boy, he did. Holy smokes. I hope that President Trump goes inside where it's warm. It's going to be cold, friends. You watch.
Well, Trump does what he believes he's got to do. He has to get out with the people, shake their hands, do his little thing, do a little song, do a little dance, shake a hand, and give you some positive things to think about.
Yeah.
And he got shot for doing it.
Boy, he's a tough guy. Whenever you start to think that he's... just a rich and wealthy guy with no, this is a guy who literally almost got his head blown off, and he jumped up ready to fight.
There was a great song a few years back called "I'll Take a Bullet for You." He's taking a bullet for you.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Maisie Hirono won't go away. She's amazing. She was at a hearing for Doug Burgum. He's the Interior Secretary nominee, and it was hearing yesterday. So Maisie Hirono, she opens up the questioning, asking about whether he has ever been involved with sexual assault. Honest to God, you can't make this stuff up. She is a mean, vindictive fathead. Listen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome. As part of my responsibilities to ensure the fitness of nominees before any of the committees on which I sit, I ask the following two initial questions. First is, since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator, I have not.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement related to this kind of conduct?
I have not.
Now, Burgum looked incredulous when he answered that. Like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? By the way, I think Burgum was, a governor before he was a nominee for the Interior Secretary? This is a guy who has got already an amazing resume. And you have this fathead from Hawaii who can't complete a sentence asking about his sexual, his sexual life in front of the world. You know, Bill, if they asked me stuff like that and I was a nominee, I think I would sue her for defamation. For defamation of character.
But see, I don't think you can because, it's an investigation. She had to ask the question,
Yeah, maybe there's some truth to that, but she's despicable. And she's done this to almost everyone up there. She's asked about...
Of course,
Have we asked her about her sex life?
Well, she's the one asking the questions. You can't ask her. She's not up for a nomination.
That's thank God.
Yeah, but that's their role.
Thank you Jesus. So. Yes.
Well, no, they should be held. They should be held accountable every single day. And if something comes up or you have suspicion, I mean, that's how they treat Republicans. I think, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yep, I agree 100%. Mark Halperin was on a podcast talking about a lot of stuff. I think it was yesterday. And he was talking about I didn't realize this. This is a routine where the vice president, the week before the inauguration, will invite the incoming vice president to tour the vice president's residence. That didn't happen with with President, with soon to be Vice President J.D. Vance and his family. Mm. Listen,
Kamala Harris, as Joe Biden would say, God love her. The vice president will be in Washington, D.C., where she will receive briefings and conduct internal meetings with staff. These meetings will be closed press. Jennifer Jacobs of CBS News reports that Vice President Harris did not invite the Vances over to tour the Naval Observatory in advance, which is a longtime tradition. I'm sure that does not sit well with almost anyone, including Sean Spicer. But that's her.
Wow. I mean, she really and truly is angry at losing the election. She's not happy. She is not forgive and forget from Kamala.
So she's not one to carry a grudge.
Oh yeah, right. She did a goodbye statement on video with her second husband standing next to her. There's some talk about that marriage too in the winds.
Yes, but, there is.
But anyway, they were standing together, and Kamala, in her clear and succinct way, said this.
I am fully aware that I am the public face of a lot of our work. And so I have the benefit of running into people all over our country who thank me. And I will tell you, I am fully aware that when they are thanking me, they are thanking our team for the extraordinary commitment that you each have and as a team have to lifting up the American people, lifting up their condition, lifting up their hopes and dreams, and understanding through it all the nobility of public service.
You know, she's a lawyer, and I would love to have been in a courtroom and see her do a closing argument. The juries would have walked out with their eyes crossed, really. It's like, what the hell did she just say? She also continued.
And our work is not done. And as you all know me, because we have spent long hours, long days and months and years together, it is not my nature to go quietly into the night. So don't worry about that.
Oh, believe me, I will.
So does that mean she's going to drop a stink bomb before she leaves?
Well, I don't know about
that's
that.
That's not an innuendo for passing gas. I'm just saying she's got something that she's going to.
No, I think she would. I think what she's saying is that she's not leaving the political scene and she's going to come back and maybe run again.
Well, that would be a stink bomb, you know.
Well, then I guess she's going to drop a stinky. Yes. Anyway, that's Kamala. She smiles and giggles and stuff, but then she turns around and says, I don't want J.D. Vance and his family to see that house. My stuff's in there. I don't want them walking around. Nope. Tell them to
don't
go somewhere
else. Don't
touch
her stuff. You know what? I wouldn't want to sit in her stuff or touch her stuff or look at her stuff.
Yes.
I'm talking about her house.
Yes, I agree. Anyway, other things I'm trying to get everything covered today as much as we can.
How about Rudy Giuliani? Hey, some good news.
That was a great. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than where it was going.
Well, he gets to keep all his stuff. His New York apartment is down to in Florida, but all of his heirlooms, everything, his goods are his.
Right.
It's $148 million, which I still think is highway robbery, but I think he'll probably get some help with that if he doesn't have it.
How much did they settle for financially?
$148 million.
I didn't realize that it was that much. I thought that it was more reasonable.
That's what I read, $148 million, but he gets to keep all of his belongings, and, you know, he's got things that he can make money with going forward, so... You know, he's got his podcast. He's got his coffee. He's got, I think he's on WABC or something like that, one of the New York stations. So he'll be able to move forward. And I'm sure now that the path has been cleared, maybe after the inauguration, Trump may find something for him.
A D.C. jury previously decided that Giuliani should pay $148 million in damages. Giuliani avoided trial and will be able to keep all of his personal belongings, including his Florida condo, his jewelry, and other family heirlooms, according to the party's respectfully request. Well, I guess it's not clear, Bill, whether he keeps...
No, the headline that I read
Did you?
He pays the cash, but he keeps all his stuff.
That's still obscene.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's not obscene.
Yeah.
But they wanted all of his money, and I think it was more than $148 million, and they wanted his house, his condo, you know, everything. They wanted everything. I mean, they even wanted his grandfather's watch.
No, I'm just wondering, does he have to give the money that he has on hand, or can he just turn around to his supporters and say, help me out? I need $148 million. Can you cover it?
I've never had to pay anything like that, but from what I understand, now that there is a settlement here, he could appeal the money. It's been signed off on, though. But I'm sure that if he sits there and goes, okay, I can't throw all that cash at once, I'm sure there's probably some kind of payment thing that they might say, $25 million now you're going to have to pay the rest. Either way, those girls walk away richer than they could have ever imagined, and I'm sure that they are buying cars and spending all that money before they have it.
You think?
When they get it, it's going to be gone.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't seem right to me. Justice in our country.
It's not right.
Well, I mean, look at Alex Jones. For those of you who don't know who Alex Jones is, he is they will call him in the media, a far-left radical commentator. He's actually a pretty smart guy. He made some mistakes in how he talked about some stuff. I think it was about Sandy Hook. And they nailed him in court for like a trillion dollars. He doesn't have $1 trillion.
Well, and that's the problem with the legal system and the liberal legal system.
Yeah.
Is like, let's put a figure on it. Oh, I don't know. How much would
that cost? 100 gazillion.
Yeah, you're going to pay $100 gazillion, and we want it all in cash right now, I'm sorry, we're going to lock you up and take away everything. What do you think about that?
You know, I wonder if he can pay. Can he pay that in pennies? I'm just curious, you want $100 trillion? Here's a bunch of pennies. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what I would do. I would go start the Giuliani Bitcoin. And if they wanted $148 million, I would put out $148 trillion coins.
Yeah.
And I would come up with a number. Let's just say you come up with 1.5 billion coins.
Yeah. You create a money? Is that how it works in Bitcoin?
I would create, you create a currency, and you put a cap on how much that, there is.
Right.
And then you could sit there and say, I'll give you,
You make it $150 million and give Rudy a couple of million just for his...
No, I'd make it $1.5 billion. Say, you only get $148 million, so I'll give you 300 million coins. Well, they might start out at 0.01 cents. They could actually get very rich that way because people are going, well, I'm going to buy that Giuliani coin, America's mayor, the AM coin, America's mayor.
Yeah.
And then sit there.
That's a heck of a good idea. You know that.
Yeah. You know, and then everybody could make money on it, including the people that sued him. And he would make a lot of money on it because he can sit there and cap it, open it up, and whatever, and he walks away.
Well, do you think they've thought about stuff like that? I got to think that people have made suggestions. You don't agree to $150 million settlement unless you figure you've got the money to cover it, right? Rudy, I'll bet you Rudy didn't have $150 million in cash. But so he's going to... He's got something going for him anyway. A lot of things that in other testimony, one of the nominees nailed Sanders. Bernie Sanders was up there grilling. Was it Bisson, one of the nominees during his hearing?
Yeah.
Listen.
When you have a small number of multi-billionaires who have enormous economic, media, and political power, would you agree with President Biden, who last night stated, and I quote, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights, and freedoms, end of quote. That's what President Biden said last night. I agree with him. Do you?
Senator Sanders, I enjoyed our visit.
You can talk a little bit closer into the mic.
I enjoyed our visit, and I hope you got my follow-up materials that we on the discussions, my previous writings on the tariffs and China. And look, the three billionaires who you listed, that all made the money themselves. Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant.
I understand that, but what I'm asking you is, when you have a handful of people like Musk, who will soon be part of the Trump administration, and others, when you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, when they spend huge amounts of money in both political parties to elect candidates, what Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs. So
this is not a condemnation of any one individual. I'm just asking you, would so few people have so much wealth and power?
But
do you think that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Senator, I think it depends on the ability to move up and down the
income. No, that's not really the answer. I mean, even if you had that mobility, no matter who those individuals might be. All right, but let me ask you another question.
Okay, Bernie, listen. When Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk were all kind of left-leaning, you never had a problem with it then. You thought it was fine. But when they all seemed to pause, stop, and look around and review the landscape, and all of a sudden they decided, hey, maybe we should be a little bit more conservative, because actually in real life we kind of are. And all of a sudden they're moving now to the right. Now you have a problem with these same three people. You have a problem with these people. And I find it very hypocritical. And by the way, what Bisson said about the Medal of Freedom is true. I mean, you want to talk about an oligarch. Let's look at George Soros.
Yeah.
You know, George Soros gets the Medal of Freedom from Biden. He didn't get it because he's a great guy. He got it because he is...
paid for it.
He paid for it. Exactly right, Bill. Yep. So, also, another thing happened. Mm-hmm. You probably heard about this. There was a vote in Congress about sexual assault and aliens, and it passed... the bill passed because the Republicans and like 60 Democrats voted for it. But the thing that really irked me and irked Nancy Mace, too, was that there were 145 Democrats who didn't vote for this bill that was a bill that protected women. It was called the bill was called Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act. Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens. How could you not vote for a bill like that, but yet 145 Democrats obviously are pro-crime because they didn't vote for it. They did not vote for it. So listen to how Nancy Mace responded to it.
Files molesting our children. You're darn right. That's what I'm here to do today. So I rise in strong support of my bill, H.R. 30, the Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act. Under the open border policies of Joe Biden and border czar Kamala Harris and Secretary Mayorkas, our country has been ravaged by a horde of illegal aliens molesting American children, battering and bruising and beating up American women, and violently raping American women and girls. My bill makes it very clear that if illegal alien commits a sex crime or an act of domestic violence, they are inadmissible and deportable. We aren't letting you into our country, and if you're already here, we are sending you back to yours. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle like to try to minimize this issue because they refuse to acknowledge the consequences that their open borders agenda is here. But the numbers don't lie. According to ICE, as of July, there were nearly 650,000 illegal aliens on the non-detained docket who are convicted criminals who have been charged with crimes. These criminal illegal aliens freely roam our streets, committing senseless acts of violence against American women and children. This includes over 100,000 illegal aliens convicted of or charged with assault. It includes over 20,000 illegal aliens convicted of or charged with sexual assault and rape. It includes over 12,000 illegal aliens convicted of or charged with sex offenses. It includes over 3,000 illegal aliens convicted of or charged with kidnapping. And nearly 15,000 illegal aliens convicted of or charged with murder. That is who the left are defending this morning. Murderers, rapists, and pedophiles. Hundreds of thousands of criminal illegal aliens are out on our streets terrorizing our women and girls. This bill passed the House last year in September by a vote of 266 to 158. 158 Democrats voted against this bill last time. Will they apologize to American women and girls today and do the right thing for our citizens? A vote against this bill is a vote against deporting illegal aliens who rape and abuse women and children. A vote against this bill is a vote to invite illegal aliens who rape and abuse women and children into the United States of America. I can think of nothing less American than that. It's despicable that 158 members of this body, which is supposed to represent the interests of American citizens, voted to prioritize illegal aliens who are sexual predators and domestic abusers, rapists, and pedophiles over the safety of American women and girls. Mr. Speaker, what do the 158 members of this body who voted last time to protect illegal aliens who are sexual predators have to say to the family of Jocelyn Nungaray, a 12-year-old girl who was brutally raped and strangled to death by two illegal aliens from Venezuela? What do the 158 Democrats who voted against this bill last time have to say to the family of Rachel Morin from Maryland, a mother of five who was brutally raped, brutally choked and beaten to death on a hiking trail by an illegal alien from El Salvador? What do the 158 members of this body, the Democrats who voted against this bill last time, have to say to the family of Kayla Hamilton, a 20-year-old with autism who was tied up, raped, and strangled to death with a phone cord by an illegal alien who was a member of MS-13? As a survivor of both rape and domestic violence myself, I know the devastating toll, the devastating consequences of heinous crimes like these have on a woman. I know the lifelong scars, the irreversible scars these heinous crimes leave behind. The blood and the physical
and it goes on. Nancy Mace talking about her bill. And it did pass, but 145 Democrats did not vote for it. How do you justify that? How do you go home to your constituents and say, well, I didn't vote for the Protecting Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act? Essentially what the bill said, by the way, was that if you're convicted in Venezuela of pedophilia, and then you race up to the United States and they catch you, and we find out that you were a convicted pedophile, back you go. No questions asked. You're gone.
See you later, baby.
Yep. So
I agree.
It doesn't make sense. I don't know. The Democrats can have a difference of opinion on a lot of things that I understand, but when you get down to such common sense things as that, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Other thing, Tony Blinken did a farewell thing yesterday, and his little presser.
Well, did it?
Oh, it went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. It went over like screen doors in a submarine. This is what it sounded like.
I would not want to be in the sub that you manufacture because you always talk about screen doors in your submarines.
I like that ventilation. You know? Anyway, this is Tony Blinken. This is not actually Tony Blinken. This is a protester at the Tony Blinken presser yesterday, and the protester was carrying on. This is all happening while he's being dragged out by security.
Two or three people. You pontificate about a free press. You pontificate about a free press. You are hurting me. I am asking questions after being told by Matt Miller that he will not answer my questions, and so I'm asking questions. Wasn't the point of May 31st statement to block the ICJ orders? You blocked the ICJ orders.
Please, sir, respect the process.
Well, respect the process. Respect the process. While everybody from Amnesty International. To the ICJ saying that Israel's doing genocide and extermination, and you're telling me to respect the process. Criminal! Why aren't you in the Hague?
And off he went, and I'm sure his family was proud. Oh, there's Dad on TV. There was another protester also in the same presser. Listen.
300 reporters in Gaza were on the receiving end of your bombs. Why did you keep the bombs flowing when we had a deal in May? We all knew we had a deal. Everyone in this room knows we had a deal, Tony, and you kept the bombs flowing. Why did you sacrifice the rules-based order on the mantle of your commitment to Zionism? Why did you allow my friends to be massacred? Why did you allow my friends' homes in Gaza to be destroyed when we had a deal in May? You helped destroy our religion, Judaism, by associating it with fascism. You waved the white flag before Netanyahu.
We'll have the time to take questions at the end.
You waved the white flag before Israeli fascism.
We'll have the time to take questions at the end.
Your father-in-law was an Israel lobbyist. Your grandfather was an Israel lobbyist. Are you compromised by Israel? Why did you allow the Holocaust of our time to happen? How does it feel to have your legacy be genocide? How does it feel to have your legacy be genocide? You too, Matt. You smirk through the whole thing every day. Smirk through a genocide.
Thank you.
And off he went. Now, the question is this. The first guy sounded like he was pro-Israel. The guy was being dragged out. The second guy, to me, sounded like he was anti-Israel. So Tony Blinken couldn't win yesterday no matter what. He ticked everybody off. He really, both sides of the same controversy. So I think it's interesting that these things are happening now. Go ahead.
Tony blew it.
Yes.
Tony blew it. You know, no. He could have brought his guitar along.
That's true.
He could have played while my guitar gently weeps and say bye bye.
He could have serenaded his protesters.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to ask my daughter that because you know she works in that thing. So.
Yes. Well, Tony Blinken was maybe one of the most ineffective people in government I've ever seen.
Oh, you
know,
not kidding.
We haven't heard anything from, what's his face, that former mayor from South Bend, Indiana, who's the, what's his name? Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, yes. Where's old Pete now that everything's winding down?
Peter, where are you?
He's probably picking out his curtains. Anyway, for his new house. Lisa Murkowski was cornered in the hallway yesterday, and they asked her. She's a Republican from Alaska, and she's a rhino. She's a big time rhino. So they asked, "Who are you going to vote for in these hearings?" And here's what she said:
"I am in the midst of the advice and consent role. This is exactly the second confirmation hearing that I have been a part of. We just started the confirmation hearings this week. I think I, along with everybody in the country, is watching them. And so I think it's premature to ask where I will be on any nominee until this process actually gets moving. So I'm doing what I do best, which is learning a lot.
You're doing what you do best, which is mess things up there, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You're somebody who cannot be counted on for anything, really. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. She's been spending too much time in the outback. There's no outback in Alaska. That's in Australia.
You look tense, Jim.
Yes.
You need some right side coffee.
You know, you're absolutely correct. My blood pressure felt like it was rising. I do need to calm down now. I need to relax.
That's why I always keep a cup right by my side.
Yes, you do. He even gets up during the show and makes some fresh coffee. So the guy really likes his right side coffee.
I pour some bourbon in it, but I won't. Yeah.
Well, there's something new. I didn't know that. Holy.
That's why I'm such a jolly guy.
Yes, you are. Right Side Coffee is available in our gift shop, which is online. Just go to rightsideshop.com. Rightsideshop.com. There you'll find it. And you'll find a bunch of other stuff, too. Hats and cups and a bunch of different things. You'll like it. It's a gift shop.
Cool stuff.
But Jim and Bill's medium blend and Jim and Bill's medium decaf blend, Right Side Coffee, is there, too. It's really good. And you really should try it. And by the way, people say, well, why do you have a gift shop? Well, we don't have commercials, per se, on our show.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we need the revenue to promote the show in the coming year because we appreciate the nearly 4 million people who listen every week to our program around the world. We do appreciate you very much, but we're trying to expand our audience. We want to be bigger and stronger. And that means we need more people to find out about the show. And by the way, we would also appreciate you spreading the word. I mean, if you had a friend that you maybe work with who's a conservative, or maybe somebody who might be interested in a program like ours, point them in our direction. Maybe send them the link. Hey, try this out. These guys are really interesting, or these guys will make you laugh, or these guys are a real pain in the gluteus maximus. You should try it out. Do that, and we'd appreciate that because every little bit helps grow the show. Right, and while you're doing that, you can be sending those links out and sipping your Right Side Coffee, which is so good. And
good by stuff.
The way, we're the only coffee I think on the whole internet that has Juan Jose and the Border Crossers sing the jingle.
That's true.
We've gone to absolutely no expense to make this program what it is today. Think about that for a second. All right, guys, if you want to come in.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wonderful, wonderful work. They never fail us. They just continue to be consistently good like our coffee.
And Victoria good. Up in the New England states heard Juan and the Border Crossers for the first time yesterday when listening to the podcast. And she thought he was, you know, they are kind of sexy.
Really? Well, they are kind of sexy. You should see the outfits they wear.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They kind of look like matadors, you know?
They really do. You know, yeah. I could try on a pair of pants like that, but they have the same effect.
It would look like 10 pounds, 10 pounds in a ten pounds in a 5 pound bag. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Sack of cement is what you're trying to say.
You look marvelous. You look marvelous.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Anyway, I guess that's about it. You have anything else you want to talk about before?
A couple of things here. You know, the Washington Post, I think I mentioned it earlier, they had an old slogan. You know, democracy dies in darkness.
That was a pretty good slogan, I thought. I mean, I didn't believe it, didn't match what they were doing, but it was
they're blaming their demise on maybe they got the wrong slogan, so they changed it.
Well, they changed it.
Riveting storytelling for all of America.
But you know, Bill, I don't know about you. When I read that, the riveting storytelling, I thought of the first thing that came to mind is fiction. Mm-hmm. Fiction. Then I thought,
lies, we tell you, lies, all lies.
But maybe it is, maybe it's in a more appropriate slogan. Riveting storytelling, you know?
Right on the money, and it was a bad day. Well, it was a bad day, I guess, a week for Bezos. You know, his, whatever he calls his rocket, it got up into orbit.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The booster that was
with a blue
to land.
Something, blue something or other, blue horizon.
Well, his booster didn't quite make it down the way it was supposed to, but SpaceX, that new super big rocket.
How'd that do? I missed that.
It blew up.
Did it really? Elon Musk?
It got up to orbit and just... They said, yep, made it. Boom. Now, it was a...
Was that what it was supposed to do, though? Seriously.
No, it was a test flight, though. They said, this is a bigger ship that'll carry a
bigger
payload. They
were supposed to grab that one, too.
Yeah, but it didn't. Well, the confines of space grabbed it. Actually, they had to reroute flights over the Gulf of Mexico because all the debris was falling down. All these people sitting there on the beach going, another great boom. Uh-oh. It was...
Honey, get to the shelter.
But, you know, it was a test flight because that means we're not sure that this is all going to work out, so there will be no crew in this flight. There will be no payload, per se. It was all dummy payload to sit there and simulate what it should do. but it wasn't supposed to go boom, and it did. So it was a fireworks show, and, you know, it's a sad day because, but, you know, that happens. Anytime you develop something,
did you see,
you're going to have trial and error.
Do they have video, Bill? Do they have video of it? Because he's got cameras everywhere on his
show. I think, yeah, it's online. You can if you're up for pre-4th of July fireworks, I think that's his rocket he's going to send up again.
Wow.
I think they have a backup, don't they? Oh, have you seen his plant? They sit there and they make those boosters, boom, boom, boom. It's an assembly line.
Yeah.
Where they just put them together. And I guess it was, you know, he's got a special engine that he uses. And this had more of these engines. So something went wrong where it all blew up. And it was probably a computer malfunction or something. Didn't mix something right. And it said, nah, I don't like this. Yeah. And,
by the way, they're designed to do just that, you know. When it starts to go off course, designed to detonate, to explode. Yeah. And that's why they shoot them up usually over unpopulated areas. You don't want it blowing up over New York, you know. It could make a mess of Manhattan, you know. So,
well, you know, yeah, you can't blame the fires in California on Elon because he doesn't have, I guess he still has semblances of some of his plants out there, but he was getting the hell out of California.
Yes.
You know, because otherwise they go, it's Musk that started the fires. No, it's not Musk.
I think Musk was down in, most of his stuff now is down in Texas, I think. I could be wrong.
Texas, Arizona, something like that. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I think Bezos is down there. He's down there. The record guy that has his space plane down around Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah. Forget his name. The Virgin space project.
You mean Branson?
Branson, yeah. He's got the space plane, which I think he
Richard
was
Branson, Sir Richard Branson, yes.
I think he was the first one to crack the space thing with the space plane. So
what is it with these rich guys and sex with their toys? Virgin Atlantic was Richard Branson's airline. You know, I mean,
well, it was Virgin Records. Come on, that's how true. He started.
And then there was with Jeff Bezos. If you look at the symbol Prime, phallic. It's a phallic symbol, you know.
Well, yeah, you look at the logo, Amazon Prime, you see the little blue thing, and then he's got his blue, you know, rocket, and it looks like
a phallic symbol. Well, it does.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, yeah, take the blue pill. You don't need it. You got the Bezos rocket, and it goes, never mind.
Yes. Maybe that's the I got a line, but I'm not going to say it.
No, don't. Even though this is on the internet, don't go there.
I'm not going to do it. I was looking at a list of Biden disasters, things that Joe Biden has left us with over the last 4 years.
Is it a big, thick encyclopedia?
Well, I can do it now, I guess.
Sure.
Disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal that resulted in 13 dead U.S. servicemen. That was the top of the list.
Right.
Record 40-year-old inflation, high rate. Soaring gas prices, more than 15 million illegal aliens entering into our country from the southern border.
Good job, Joe.
Yep, record fentanyl overdoses, supply chain crisis, COVID vaccine mandates, calling millions of Trump supporters garbage, soaring crime, job-destroying tax hike. It's easy for me to say. Job-destroying tax hikes, endless Ukraine-Russia war giving, weaponization of his Department of Justice, and woke, gutted military. All of that given to us by Joseph Robinette Biden and his illustrious administration. Again, truly, I want you all to listen at 12 noon on Monday. Just go out to your front porch. Listen for the clapping. There will be people clapping. In unison, you probably hear the cheers from coast to coast. Thank God he's gone.
Well, a future story, you kind of alluded to it. You know, you talked about DEI, and the FBI is quietly closing their DEI files and department.
Yeah, I heard about
Trump
that, yeah.
came out and said he ordered the FBI to preserve all records related to DEI office. you know, they'll say, well, you know, we transferred him out to California and I'll be damned.
They burned up in a fire. We stored him in our warehouse in Pasadena. Oops.
Yeah, you know. Who knew?
Yes. Oh, well.
Who would have thunk that?
Yes, right. I was thinking when I read that story about him ordering them to hang on to it, can they say, well, you weren't president on the 17th of January? So.
Well, they could, but, you know, I thought, you know, the mere fact that he did it is a cue for them to go, destroy it. But you know what? That's probably what he wants, because now that he's publicly said, you hold on to those records, we want to look at them. And then he goes, okay, let's get those records. He can publicly say, let's get those records. You know, I told you to hold on to them. What'd you do with them over there, Billy?
I don't know.
You told me to burn them.
I thought it was trash. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that will be a way that he can sit there and say, uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go. Gotcha. So I think they're damned. If they hold on to them, they're damned. And if they destroy them, that's just obvious, and they're damned.
Do you ever get the impression, I feel like I'm about ready to watch a very fast race, or maybe a very fast race horse start its race. You know, like, I got a feeling that on Monday at noon, ooh, it's going to be the beginning of a very exciting time.
It's already started. I mean, this is history deja vu with Trump. When you talk about Hamas and the hostage release, this goes back to the Iranian hostages with Reagan. And he came in, and all of a sudden, 45 years later, here we are with Trump.
Right.
It's almost like the ghost of Ronald Reagan. No, he doesn't look like him. He's not Ronald Reagan. But there are comparisons. But he's different than any other president. And the fact that he was already in once, and somebody would say, well, his second term, he's a lame duck. Mm-mm. He had, you know, thanks to the Democrats stealing the election, they gave him a break.
Yeah.
And now he knows that he's not going to have to, you know, rally for a second term.
Right.
He's got to do it. This is it. There is no lame duck session. I mean, this guy is going to light the world on fire. It is going to be the slowest 4 years for liberals and Democrats, for us Republicans,
yes,
it's going to be go by real fast, woohoo session, because you know he's going to be
every day will be like opening a Christmas gift, you know.
Yeah, it'll be there might be several packages under the Trump tree for us.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, that's about going to do it for us, my friend. Another week behind us. Not sure about tomorrow whether we'll have an update or not. Maybe. Well, you just do us a favor, just check back, okay? Because if there's some important news, we'll be here. Otherwise, we'll see you on Monday. With that, I'm done, my friend. I'm going to wrap it up. Juan Jose and the Border Crossers have already taken their instruments, and they're back out in their Chihuahua car, and they're just waiting to leave.
Yeah, I understand that. Car barks every time it goes by.
It does. You start it up and it barks. Yeah. It's not a very powerful thing. Any car that you have to start with a rope, you know, you tie a rope around it and pull a cord. Not a very powerful car.
No, it's not. But, you know, it works. It got them here. So it did its job. And since you've wrapped this thing up, just make sure it's a nice bow tie on it. And until we decide to come back and grace the podcast airwaves again, I'll just say this. Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.